Let's pray when we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you for the time we have here to open your word, to hear testimonies, to sing praises. Lord, speak through me this morning. Let the words come from your throne and open our hearts and minds. Let us be closer with you when we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So back when I was in college, just a few years ago, maybe several years ago, I was dating my wife, who's back there. Hi, Miranda. Everybody say hi. I was dating her, and she called me on the phone. She said, hey, I want to take you somewhere on a picnic. And she said, but I want to drive your car. And I said, wait, that's not cool. You know how guys are in their cars. I said, you're going to drive my car somewhere. And so we talk about it for a few minutes, and I finally agree to let her drive my car. And I walk over to the car, and I hand her the keys, and then she hands me a blindfold. I said, wait, I'm already trusting you enough with my life letting you drive my car. And now you want me to put a blindfold on so I can't see where I'm going. She said, yes, put it on. So we argue a few minutes about that, not too long, and I put it on. I get in the passenger seat, and we start driving. I have no idea where I am. I think I try to figure out by where we're going, and I feel I start going up a hill, a slow hill, and we get there, and she stops, and she says, we're on top of a mountain. So I get out of the car, and she tells me it's safe to walk. I still have my blindfold on. She said not to take it off. She says, it's okay to walk, and so, but I'm picturing in my head mountains like a cliff, you know. I pictured that she pulled next to a cliff and we're going to go walk somewhere and have a picnic. So I'm taking steps about 6 inches and testing out the terrain and then taking a step and then making sure there's no cliff there and I went about 5 feet in 30 minutes. I don't know, it took me too long. And she finally said, okay, you can take the blindfold off. And I opened the blindfold and sure enough, we're on top of a mountain, but we're on top of a flat mountain on top of it, and it was just a green grass, like as far as I could see. I could have run with the blindfold on and not fallen off, but I didn't trust her when she told me it was okay. I trust her a little more now, just a little bit. But I didn't have the faith that she's telling me it's okay to walk, it's okay to step, but I don't think it is, because in my head I picture something different. In my head I think that it's not okay. I think there's a cliff and I'm going to go falling if I take too big of a step. We're going to look at a story about someone who walked with faith. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We all know the story. Matthew chapter 14. So what if we walked by faith totally, like we talked about last night? What if we stood up for Jesus? Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and before him go to the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. But right away, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, behold, be of good cheer, don't be afraid, it is I. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come. And Peter came out of the ship and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves and was afraid, he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he came into the ship, the wind stopped. We're going to dig a little bit deeper in this story here this morning. Before we do, I want to share an experiment with you. Now, I'm apologizing to any of the animal rights activists. This is about rats and rat testing. So it's a little questionable, but these scientists decided to test rats to see how long they would stay alive. I don't know why anyone would want to test this, but they put these rats in a bowl of water, and they said, how long can they stay alive? The rats lasted about 17 minutes before they gave up and sunk into the water. The bowl was smooth side, so they couldn't get out. Then they took another group of rats and did the same thing, put them back in the bowl of water. About 17 minutes in, when they noticed they were starting to sink, they grabbed the rats and put them back into safety. Let them eat, let them play, do whatever till they feel safe. They take the same rats that they just saved from the bowl of water, they put them back in the bowl of water, and they watch how long it takes. And the time went from 17 minutes, where they would have drowned, to 36 hours they lasted. So what's the difference? They knew they could be rescued because they'd experienced it before. We talked about last night, right? What have you experienced before? And those, we need to remember what we've experienced before because they'll help us in the future. These rats would last 17 minutes in a bowl of water, last 36 hours, just because they know what happened in the past. How much more should that affect us? How much more should we be different? Peter has a similar experience on this boat. I think Jesus wanted to test all the disciples. I think he was testing Peter as well. Peter has seen some things in his life with Jesus. We read that Peter left everything to follow Jesus. When he first saw Jesus, he left everything. How many of you have left something? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have left something to follow Christ? Given up something, left maybe family, left friends for Jesus? You don't have to raise your hands, but think about it. What have you left for Jesus? He left everything and followed him. He'd seen a blind man be healed. Jesus had healed a blind man, and Peter had seen that. And this story also deals with sight. In this story, we see Peter leaving the boat. We see him dealing with where he's looking. He's seen the hands of his relatives be healed, or the hand of Jesus healing his relatives. We see his hand in this story saving Peter. We see Jesus calmed the storm when he was sleeping in the boat. Remember the story when he was sleeping in the boat and they asked him why he's sleeping and he said, peace be still. He woke up and said, peace be still. And in this story, we see him calming the storm again, but not before the test happened. I want you to notice something. Far too often we're negative on Peter in this story. We say how bad he was because he looked at the waves and he did. He looked away from Christ. And we're going to get into that too. But the other 11 never got out of the boat. The other 11 stayed in. They didn't even have the faith to say, I want to come too. I want to get closer with Jesus, to Jesus as well. They stayed there. So the challenge is to keep your eyes on Christ, and we'll get into that too. Steps of faith. We talked a little bit last night about fortresses and giants, and here we're looking at a storm. So the storms of our life can be overwhelming, right? So what are some storms that you guys face? I want to hear back from you. What are some storms you face in life? Obviously not storms like we just had this morning. I'm talking about a test or a trial that you're going through. Anybody? What are some struggles you have? What are some struggles that people your age have? Anger management. Drugs. Anybody else? Peer pressure. Anything else? We face some hard challenges. God doesn't always calm the storm right away. God didn't calm the storm right when it hit. He didn't calm the storm when he was sleeping in the back of the boat. God sometimes gives you the strength to go through, and then he calms the storm. We need to remember that sometimes there's a trial in our life. Job, look at the story of Job. Sometimes there's trials in our life that God doesn't fix right away. We saw the story of the man this morning who had cancer. It appeared to go away, and then it came back. Why is that? God gives us the strength to go through the storm sometimes. Jesus sent them into the storm. We read in the first verse of this story, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained them," or commanded them, "to go into the storm." I think he knew that the storm was coming, and he told them to go to the storm. The waves, the lightning, they were trying to go where Christ told them to go. The problem is, they were doing it by themselves. Christ had told them to go across the lake, and they're trying to do it. So sometimes we know what Christ has asked us to do, and we're trying to do it. We're trying to stop the drugs. We're trying to stop the peer pressure. We're trying to stop our anger, whatever it is, and we're trying to do it ourselves. The disciples, after they saw Jesus, they were afraid. They continued, I think, to try to do it themselves. They continued to fight the waves and do it themselves. When Peter turned and wanted to go to Christ, only Peter wanted to step out of the boats. Faith can never be faith without action. We can't say, "I have faith," and then sit in the boat. Too often we say that. We have huge faith, but we'll just stay here in the boat and not want to walk on the water. You know, I have this vision in my head of what this night looked like. And I think Peter didn't try to step out of the boat and put, like I was showing you how I was walking, where I wanted to test the water. I don't think he turned over and held onto the side of the boat and put one foot over and tested to see if Jesus was true, and then slowly put his other foot over while still holding onto the boat. I think he jumped off the side of the boat and landed 2 feet firm on the water and started walking. I don't think he tested it and didn't know if Jesus was going to be true when he said, "Come." He knew, when Jesus said, "Come," he knew, "I've got to jump. I've got to go." He accepted that. When you know what Jesus is asking you to do, how quick are you to jump? When you know what he's asking us to do, we mentioned things, what he's asking us to do, we know them. They're here. Do we always do them? I don't always do it. We know what he's asking us to do. We can repeat what he's asking us to do. But the thing is, too often we try to do it ourselves. We know what he's asking us to do, to evangelize, to tell people about Christ, to go door to door, whatever he's asking us to do. And we do it ourselves, and we mess up, and we wonder why. We need to do it with him, looking at him. He jumped out of the boat and started walking. But then, what happened? He started to sink. Why? Why did he start to sink? Where? Why? He doubted Christ. Anybody else? That's one reason. He took his eyes off Christ, which is the doubt. He stopped looking at Christ and he looked at the waves. He looked at the test. He looked at the drugs. He looked at the peer pressure. And he got overwhelmed. Because like in our story last night, he started comparing himself to the waves. How is this possible? How am I walking on water? How am I, whatever it is, saying no to peer pressure for 3 days straight? And you start comparing yourself to the challenge, and you start to sink. Because those men, as we talked last night, compared their God to the task. And Peter was at first comparing Jesus to the task. I'm walking on water because Jesus is doing it, and he's focused there. And then maybe he looks around at the disciples, he looks at the waves, and he starts to sink. So number two, keep your eyes on Jesus. He took his eyes and looked at his surrounding. He took off his eyes. The difference between walking and sinking in life and spiritual life is where your eyes are, where you're focused. What we focus on will feed our faith or will feed our fear. Where are you focused this morning? Now it's easy to say, "Oh, I'm focused on Jesus," when we're surrounded by people who are praising, who are singing, who are praising God. But where are we focused when we're not in this room? Where are we focused when the people around us are doing drugs? When they're asking us to do drugs, when the peer pressure is there, when you're tempted to get angry, where's your focus? Is it still on Christ or is it on yourself? Or is it on your waves that surround you? The one thing I want you to notice too, just because you sink doesn't mean you're lost. Too many people want us to think that. The devil wants us to think that. The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times. No, that doesn't mean it's okay. That doesn't mean, hey, yay, we can fall whenever we want. No, that means when you fall, Jesus is there to bring you up. That doesn't mean the devil wants you to think when you mess up, if you're trying to stop doing drugs and you do drugs because of peer pressure, that you're lost. It's done. It's over. It's not. Because what we read in this story is something different. Jesus didn't let him sink. Jesus didn't say, Peter, you looked away from me, you're done. But why? Peter knew where to call. He didn't say, waves, save me, or disciples, save me, or drugs, save me. He said, Jesus, save me. When you're in that situation, when you're maybe looking at your challenges, when you're looking at the peer pressure, when you're looking away from Christ, call to him. His hand will be there. What does the story say? Immediately. I have this picture that, let's say the boat's here. This is in my mind. I have nothing to back this up. Jesus is at the back door, a few feet away. And if I'm Peter, step out of the boat, I start to walk, maybe I get 4 or 5 feet, I start looking at the waves, and I start to sink. Jesus is still right there, back by the door. And I'm sinking, and I cry out for help just before my head goes underwater. And my hand's up above the water, the only thing left. And instantly, Jesus is here, pulling me out of the water. That's the picture I have. I don't know if that's actually how it happened, but that's what it takes. You may think you're drowning. You may think you're done. Peter, I'm sure, thought it was over. Jesus instantly pulled him out of the water. An uplifting hand. The hand that had healed the lepers, the hand that had brought salvation to many, pulled Peter immediately, our story says, out of the water. And then he says, why did you doubt? I don't think he's scolding him for getting out of the boat. It's like I said before, I think he wanted the other disciples to come out of the boat, to have that faith-building experience. He says, why did you doubt? Which means double-minded. So basically he's asking him, in my mind, why, when you came out of the boat, you started looking at the waves, you think I wouldn't save you? Why did you doubt when you started to sink that I wouldn't be here? Why did you doubt? The course is not to stay in the boat. You know, I think that we've heard the song, Where His Hands, Where His Feet? Everybody heard that song? You know what I'm talking about? Well, if you haven't, there's a great song, Where His Hands, Where Are His Feet? And I think in this case, we're called to be his hands. When we see someone else sinking, when we see someone else looking at the waves in their life, looking at the storm in their life, to reach out and bring them closer to Christ. Let Christ work through you to bring them closer. If you see a friend thinking about drugs, thinking about the peer pressure, thinking about getting angry, whatever it is, be that friend that reaches out. Don't be the friend that pushes them down. Be the friend that pulls them closer to Christ and let God use you as his hands. Far too often, I feel that we sometimes sit in the boat and say we have faith and watch Peter walking on the water start to drown and do nothing. It's Christ working through us. It's not us. Because if we try to do it, we're going down with him. If we try to go help that person, we're not gonna succeed. But it's Christ working through you. It's Christ working through you. Don't be content to stay in the boat. Focus on Christ and jump out of the boat and walk on water. What if we walked on water? What if we took Christ at his word and shared with others about him? What would the world look like? I have a question for you this morning. If every young person, every adult, every child did no more or no less than what you did last week to spread the gospel, to tell other people about Christ, how long would it take to get around the world? If every person around the planet did no more or no less than what you did last week, how long would it take? A few years? Eternity? How long would it take? So this week, if you ask yourself that question, you say, well, it would take a long time because I didn't do very much this week. Change it. Get up. Look at Jesus and say, I want to change that. I want to be one of the people that it would take only 2 weeks to get around the world if everyone did no more or less than what God did through me this last week. We talked about some practical ways a little bit about doing that, about what Christ is asking us to do. So I challenge you today to ask God, because I think God gives us, we're to go, we're to preach, we're to teach, do many things, what we talked about last night, but I think each and every one of you, God has something specific for. Every person in this room, God has a plan. God has a desire for you. I challenge you to pray this afternoon, this week, and find out what that is. We know what it's in reference to talk to other people about Jesus, to show other people what Jesus is like, but there's different ways. How do we do it? I challenge you to spend time in prayer. Tonight, I'm thinking about sharing some of my testimony with you about where God has led me to be where I am today, into a saving relationship with Him, and I wouldn't be here today, I don't think any of us would be here today, if God didn't call us to commit to Him. So I want to ask if you'll stand, if you want to commit to this week, maybe even today, find a time, find a quiet place to reflect, to pray what God is calling you to do in your life, in this week, in this day. I want you to stand if you're willing to take the challenge to really commit to that. And whatever God's asking you to go for it, with His power, not with your own power. The disciples were trying to get across the boat or the river or the lake with their own power. They needed to draw close to Jesus. So I challenge you to take His challenge and let Him lead you. Let Him change you. Let Him grow in you and find out what He wants you to do. And don't turn around. If you know what He wants you to do, don't look back. So I'd like if you'd like to take that challenge this day, this week, to stand with me. What if we stood when all others didn't? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you see your church, the body of believers. Lord, what if? What if we walked on water? Lord, our whole life, we have storms, we have waves, we have lightning. We don't know where to turn sometimes, but Lord, your word tells us to turn to you. Your word tells us what to do. Lord, each and every person in this room has a specific calling, a specific gift. We may not know what it is. We may want to be a million miles from this room right now. But Lord, that doesn't change the fact you have a plan for us. You have a desire for us to serve you in everything. Lord, you see these people standing. They've committed to ask you today, this week, what you want them specifically to do. Lord, you have something for everyone. Let our eyes be opened. Let us see there are more with us than with the enemy. Let us not succumb to peer pressure, drugs, anger. But Lord, if we do, when we fall, let us call out to you, and immediately we know you're going to bring us back up. Let us commit our lives to you anew, so when we leave this building, we're of one group, that of those who are saved and ready to conquer the world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.